We now return to Unlocking Secrets for Women, a program paid for and sponsored by CDN Instructional Services. Now, back to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.
We're back here on Unlocking Secrets for Women on this fabulous Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all you. If those of you who have just joined us, you have missed a fabulous discussion. We're here with Bobby Hoadley, and we're talking about communication, women in the workforce, communications and power in the workplace for women. We talk about that glass ceiling and why we can't get through. And I think we've defined, without trying to be overly simplistic, that it's because we, who are effective communicators, are not using the correct communication tools to get that powerful message in us heard so that we can make incredible change in the work environment. So we've got that great power to do that. Women have incredible power to bring change, far greater than I think men do, because we can see the long term. We're always looking way down the road, and that's what drives men crazy, because they start nesting and start looking way down in the road there. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we need to sort of give some women some really practical things here now, Bobby. For instance, negotiating, you're just talking, and we were talking in the break about asserting the right, or having assertiveness, and having the right to be assertive. And can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I do teach assertiveness, and basically try to teach it as more of an objective thing. We talked a little bit about that. I don't think that women should talk about how they feel when they're being assertive, mm-hmm. which I think is a commonly taught thing when you do this. I feel that. And I don't think it's about feelings. I think if you choose to be assertive about something, it's because you have the right to be assertive. So that has to be the bottom line. You need to actually have the right to get what it is that you are going to assert for.
Mm-hmm.
So what I teach around assertiveness is that you start by knowing that this is something that you deserve or you need or that needs to be done in order for things to move forward.
In other words, you've done your homework first.
Absolutely. You know that you're right about that and that you have the right to assert this. And then what I tell women to do is start by making a simple statement of what needs to happen or what you want to see done in the end,
mm-hmm.
and try as much as possible to not talk about you or not talk about I, but rather to talk about what needs to happen.
The missing
piece. Vision for the future, the thing that needs to happen, what's missing. Keep it external, keep it objective. It's not about you or me. This needs to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And then any second statement has to provide more information or back up what you've just said with some real relevant evidence that this is the case. So if you're asking for a raise, it would be something like, in this position in nonprofit organizations, this is the average raise wage for this position, or something like that. But you want to be really brief, because you can't lose the thunder of your first statement.
That's right.
Okay, so very
shock
often.
Shock and awe.
Yeah, absolutely. Very often women will make that first assertive statement and then start rattling because they're so nervous that they've made a demand so forcefully.
So you're saying whatever they start with, they need to maintain.
Absolutely.
Consistently.
Keep that power.
Yes.
And don't, and keep really brief so that you're not losing all that thunder. And by the way, that first statement should never, never, never be a question. And through this whole process, no question should ever be asked.
Yeah. That's very good. Because then right away what you're doing is you're showing your own uncertainty.
Absolutely.
And you've just got a breach in the wall.
Oh, and opening yourself up for no.
Exactly.
Right? So you're not asking any questions here. You're making a powerful statement about what needs to happen in the future. A brief, relevant statement about why that's important or why it's meaningful. And then you're going to finish with a statement of your commitment or collaboration. So,
very good.
So you're going to say, I'm investing this. And so it leaves someone in a position where it's almost impossible for them to refuse you.
Because they would look ridiculous.
Absolutely, because you've given them everything they need to say yes.
Exactly. And so it's win-win. The idea is that that person has to win and you have to win.
Yes.
That there's none of this one-up. We all understand the one-up, one-down concept, but we're still doing it all the time.
Yes.
I talk to my kids all the time. You know, these two females that I have in my family, I got four kids, and these two girls are like, whoa, like cats. And my thing is, you girls aren't leaving here until you're both winning. And they're like, oh, that's impossible. I said, well, then you're just going to have to stay there until you both win, because that's effective negotiation.
Absolutely.
Why should someone give you or I a raise if they're not going to benefit from it?
Uh-huh.
It's ridiculous to assume that they would.
Yeah.
And so just set it up that way. And I love it. If you're going to go in with power, you go in knowledgeable, researched, educated, intelligent. You make your statements, as like you said, you make them brief, no questions. You know, you're not asking questions. You're making statements based on facts that you have acquired and achieved. You don't have to be aggressive in your approach.
No.
You can totally be who you are, because the truth of the information backs you up with power.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, if you're going to be aggressive, the point to be aggressive is on that third statement of, this is what I'm going to give you. This is what I'm doing.
So they're sold by your passion.
Absolutely.
That they don't want to let you go.
What? I will help you to expand this company as much as you like, or whatever it is that's meaningful to the listener, right? Or, I mean, if you're asking for a meeting you can't get, or you're asking for communication that you're not getting, you know, to finish it off by saying, I will make myself available anytime for you.
Exactly. And you know what? That is so powerful. You know, and it's the concept of what you're talking about is we have to use it all the time. For instance, if we want to, let's say, for instance, we're seeking sponsorship in an issue of something, we have to meet the criteria of that organization in order to have them want to work in a relationship with us for sponsorship. So we have to find out what the criteria of that company is. You know, what kind of things they fund. Non-for-profit organizations have this challenge all the time, looking for grants and funding for their particular projects. Well, you know, you can't go to, you know, a car muffler organization when you're looking for information or when you're looking for funds from a company that's passion has to do with overseas exports. You have to match what it is, and that's where doing your job and being smart and figuring out strategically what is it that my boss needs to hear from me in order to open up the windows of money, you know, I mean, within certain limitations. Mm-hmm. And then you get that odd individual who looks at you and just says to you, it can't be done.
Yeah.
Or I'm not, you know, the boss will say, well, you know what, you presented an excellent case, I agree with you, but there's no money.
Right. Right.
Then you have to face that part.
Yes.
And then for a single mom or women like that in negotiation, that becomes tough, because maybe sometimes they've got some big choices they have to make.
Right.
If we're talking about negotiating for salary.
Mm-hmm.
But even negotiating the way an office should work, even the way strategizing, you know, we've always done it this way. Communication has not worked effectively. I've got an idea. Are you willing to listen?
Yes.
Sometimes going to a boss and saying, I've got an idea that I think is going to make your job easier.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to listen to me?
Right.
And a lot of times I've been invited into the office of managers who said, okay, I'd like to hear you.
Yeah.
You, I will hear.
Yeah.
Because they know I've thought about it.
Yeah, exactly. And even if you do finish and you get the big no, you don't have to hear the big no. You can hear an opportunity for further negotiation or informed discussion.
Say, well, what, you know,
yes.
I've asked for this. And so where are you coming from in your perspective? You're saying no to this amount. What would you say yes to?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it's possible that you may be bringing more revenues to your organization,
mm-hmm.
and that may be something that you can go on to further negotiate around.
Exactly.
So, you know, but it's a matter of dealing with things more externally and more objectively than we as women naturally do.
Mm-hmm.
We naturally internalize, we naturally are reactive, we're naturally trying to do a kind of communication that, as we've said before, works in our kitchens and is totally fulfilling for us as women, but doesn't bring into the workplace the kinds of skills that we need to change those workplace cultures such that we can break through the class ceiling. Because I don't think we will. I think not any better than we're doing today, because
tactics aren't changed.
Absolutely.
Our strategies are the same.
The women who are making it are the women who can almost cut off their feminine side.
Yeah.
And that's not something that most of us are willing to do.
No.
And so we're not going to succeed until we redefine our participation.
And we as women have got to understand we can change our world. That's what we've been doing. When I think of these five fabulous women, I think of it back in 1914, one of the things I think that's so humorous, one of the things that they did in order to defeat the current government that they really were unhappy with, these women created all these plays and made an absolute mockery of the leader of their province at the time. I think it was in the province of Alberta. They made him a laughingstock because they simply took what he was doing, created a play about it, invited everybody in, people were watching this, and all of a sudden it made sense to them, like, well, that's ridiculous behavior, and it's going to change them around. You know, one last thing.
An aside, their spokesperson, Nellie McClung, was a fabulous communicator.
Yes.
She was extremely powerful and forceful, and she wrote a number of books, and you read them, and you think, how did this woman land in 1914?
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. And why haven't we continued to model that?
Absolutely.
It takes a woman who's got courage, who uses her courage. Women have courage. They'll save their babies from a fire.
Mm-hmm.
They need to use that courage effectively. They need to understand that we're not saying to take away from something. We're saying let's add. Because who we are, we can't take away what we are. We need to balance out who we are with adding other components that make us more complete.
And we need to give it away more effectively.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, more effectively. Well, Bobby, I can only tell you that it has been my pleasure to have you here. It's a topic that we could spend hours on in a forum with of women. I think it would just be so much fun to have a whole group of women who have so much to say on this issue. Hopefully, we've given some practical things. But, Bobby, for women who are needing to get a hold of you, they're saying, we want to hear more about what Bobby's teaching. We want to get into her classes. And, of course, your book, because we want to talk about that. Just briefly, where can people find you?
Okay. You can find me personally through Parlay Communications at Parlay, P-A-R, and it's a hyphen, L-E-Y, at shaw.ca. The course, the Effective Workplace Communications for Women, is offered through UBC Continuing Studies, and they put out a catalog of continuing studies, or you can go online. And it's offered at the Robson Square campus in the Women's Resources Center. It's part of their programming there. In terms of my book, which we really didn't discuss much, and it's all about how women define their participation in backcountry camping and can have a great time and should, that's a book called Babes in the Woods, and it's at Mountain Equipment Co-op, Buffy Books, pretty much any book in Vancouver, bookstore in Vancouver will have it. And and do contact me.
If you need any more information, you can always contact me at unlockingsecrets.com, which is our website. Or if you need to find that, you can go to cfund.com, and then you'll go to unlockingsecrets.com, and then I can hook you up with Bobby. Bobby, thanks so much for being here today. It's been fabulous. Next week, we are thrilled to bits because we get 10 minutes of Suzanne Summers. She's going to be calling us from Los Angeles, and we're going to be talking about bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. And we've got Michael Millman in the studio as well, who is a compounding pharmacist who's going to talk about what Suzanne's talking about. So thank you for joining us today. Look forward to next week here on Unlocking Secrets for Women. Have a fabulous Mother's Day.
You're listening to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM. The proceeding has been a paid program sponsored by CDN Instructional Services.